Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, our special guest today on Let's Face the Issues is Bill Jack. Bill is with the Worldview Academy. Worldview Academy training young Christians across America to be able to defend their faith and rightly divide the word of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, we were just talking with Bill in relationship to Worldview at Abbey, and he was giving us an insight and overview of that particular program of training that's not just a small seminar, but it stretches into a year or 2 years. Bill, finish your thought on that, and then we'll drive on to other questions and thoughts for our listeners to understand what Worldview Academy is about.
Right. Again, Worldview at the Abbey is a two-semester program for students who want to get grounded in their faith before they hit their career or their college classes. And so we spend two semesters with them. We train them in they can receive up to 30 hours of fully transferable credit through Trinity International University outside of Chicago. We've had students who've gone on to various institutions and students who've started in their careers. And we've been in, this is our seventh year, I believe, of training students. Classes are limited to 12 students and a faculty member. I teach the civics class. I like to call it civics. I don't like to call it political science. The official title is Utopias and Reality, Politics and Economics. And so the civics class is a one-semester class, and then the second semester is spent on economics. So they get grounded in their faith from a biblical worldview. And they are involved and engaged in the culture. They attend various churches of their choice. They volunteer in the community. And as I said, they have practicums like the evangelism practicum right across the street from the high school every 2 weeks. They go out and they have the opportunity to enjoy Colorado. We do whitewater rafting trip, a backpacking trip, rock climbing. But they're immersed in community. They're immersed in God's word and the practical application. What I have seen, Dr. Youngblood, over the course of the past few years, even with the students with whom we deal, and again, I'm dealing with a very unique set of students who are committed to the cause of Christ and want to be leaders. But I'm seeing that there's four threats to the future of our nation and our faith. The first one I see is moral bankruptcy. I believe our nation is spending the moral capital of the previous generation without regard to replenishing the necessary deposits in the next generation. Even the church has ignored the moral issues of the day and has not generally addressed the culture with the truth claims of the Bible. For example, as I said, every 2 weeks, students at Worldview at the Abbey go out and engage students in conversation in the park across the street from the local high school. There's a police officer who's monitoring the activity in the park, and he told me these students need this, students at the high school. He also said that he had appealed to the ministerial association and asked them for help in reaching the high school students. And so I asked if any Christians had shown up to share Jesus, and he kind of looked at the ground and shook his head no. But that's the moral bankruptcy that we're seeing. The church has been walled off into a corner and is not considered relevant in the application of Scripture in the real world. Even students who come to our leadership camp, however, have experienced the moral bankruptcy of the culture and the insolvency of the cultural Christianity that we're seeing. For example, I had a conversation with a girl. This was, oh, maybe 5 years ago. She was a homeschool girl. Probably 65% of our students at camp are homeschooled. Another 20-25% are Christian school students, and maybe 10-15%, maybe 10% are from the public school. So the bulk of our students have been grounded in a biblical worldview. They understand what worldview is. It's the framework for understanding existence. But I had this conversation, this small group of girls. We break up our students into small groups, usually same age, nearly the same age. And so this group of small girls asked me to have lunch with them. And this one girl asked, "What do you think of Caitlyn Jenner?" He had just, you know, Bruce Jenner had just transitioned. And I responded, "You mean Bruce?" And she answered, "Well, she wants to be called Caitlyn." And I said, "Well, Abe Lincoln asked a group of people once, if you call a sheep's tail a leg, how many legs does a sheep have?" The answer that Abe gave was four. It doesn't matter what you call the tail. It's still a
That's
tail.
That's right. That's right. Good illustration.
As far as Bruce Jenner goes, check his DNA, I said. To which she retorted, "Well, he claims to be a Christian." And I responded, "Well, he very well may have trusted Christ, but he is shaking his fist in the face of his creator and saying, 'You don't define me, I do.'" Now, if I have to have a conversation like that with students at our camp, then what is the general population like? Christians have been deafened by the shouts from the secular commentators, pundits, politicians, and yes, even preachers who are quick to cite a verse out of context in order to silence Christians in the public square. And that comes to the third threat, and that's more ominous than the first two. You mentioned it already, and that is biblical illiteracy.
Yes.
Whenever a Christian attempts to address, for example, a failure of public school teachers to teach biblical values to students, well, you get a typical response like, "Well, you know I'm a Christian, but Jesus said you got to render unto Caesar, and since the school is taxpayer-supported, well, I, as a Christian public school teacher, have to tread lightly." Well, you know what? Jesus did say, "Render to Caesar that which Caesar puts his name on. If a coin, then pay your taxes." However, whose image is stamped on every person who ever lived? It's not the state. Better question for parents right now: whose image do you want stamped on the heart and mind of your student? The secular states or God's?
Absolutely. One of the things, Bill, if I can jump in, one of the things that I find that's so disconcerting and yet is so real, that multitudes of parents today, even in Christian homes, because they say that they're saved, but yet they want their child in a secular institution because they want to see them in a position and a place where there can be recognition and what I call a prestigious credential, more interested in that than that child's relationship to the Lord and his ability to defend the faith once delivered to the saints. So I find what you're doing is refreshing and should be a challenge to each of our listeners. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, we're talking with Bill Jack today. Bill is with the Worldview Academy. We're talking about the training that's so vital for youngsters, 13 to 18 years of age, to get them into the Word of God and defending the faith. The telephone number is 831-0917. If you'd like to jump in the dialogue and the discussion or ask Bill a question, please feel free to do so. The telephone number is 904-831-0917. Love to have your comments, your interest, and your dialogue and discussion with Bill today in this very vital subject that we're speaking about. Bill, part of your ministry is that of joining hands with local churches, and the question is, what can you offer the churches today? How can your ministry, Worldview Academy, lock arms with a local New Testament church? What can the church do? How can that be a benefit and a blessing to the church? And what do you suggest from that standpoint?
I'm glad you asked that, Dr. Youngblood, because one of the things we do, besides doing our week-long camps and besides the two-semester program at Worldview at the Abbey, is that we also offer Christianity and Culture conferences. And those are a weekend conference, usually Friday night and Saturday. And we will bring in two or three of the faculty from Worldview Academy, and we will teach six of the sessions that we teach at camp. for now. We don't change any of the content, any of the delivery. We just show up in big boy pants rather than camp gear, and we are there to teach families. So it's a family-oriented opportunity. It gives us the opportunity to teach adults, and it gives families the opportunity to see what we offer their student at a week-long camp. And so we offer it for families. They can then go home, and they can sit around the dinner table, discuss what they've learned, and then apply it. Again, because of the biblical illiteracy that we're facing in our culture, I think that we don't apply Scripture to the culture. And as a result, this fourth problem that I'm seeing is this lack of concern for liberty. Whenever yes. Christian florists, photographers, bakers, for example, here in Colorado, refuse to participate in an event, say a same-sex wedding ceremony, that's a violation of their conscience, the state is quick to find them guilty of violating anti-discrimination laws. Now, what's the church's response been? The church's response is, well, please give us a RFRA, a Religious Freedom Restoration Act, to exempt the church from having to abide by state statutes that are being applied to Christian business people. Mm. Now, what that means is, in so doing, the church has become nothing more than a special interest group seeking privileges from the omnipotent state. Liberty is not being preached in the pulpits, nor is it being exercised by the people in the pew. I mean, Dr. Youngblood, you've got me on my hobby horse here. But when I go to church and I hear somebody stand up and pray, you know, Father, thank you for allowing us to live in a country where we can gather to freely worship you. My first response is to sigh and go, really? Is that true? What about the photographer? What about the florist? What about Jack Phillips, the baker here in Colorado, who has been harassed for the past 7 years because he wanted to bring his faith to bear in his business? We Christians, we need to be proclaiming liberty for all. If we don't have liberty Absolutely. For all, we have liberty for none. We can't Absolutely. Just say we have liberty for some. Christians should be walking liberty bells. The Christians should boldly proclaim, I believe in liberty for all, not liberty for some. If we don't have liberty for all, we will have liberty for none.
Absolutely. Jack, you touched on that. Let me dive in a little deeper. I'm familiar with the Jack Phillips and the Masterpiece Cake Shop and the fact that it's gone all the way to the Supreme Court, reversed back to the appeals court in the state of Colorado, and then they wanted to re-prosecute the case. And I understand that you got involved in that. What did you do? What action did you take, and why did you do it?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, I tried not to. I had this idea, and I sat on it for the longest time thinking somebody else surely would do this, and I wouldn't have to. But what I did is I researched, and I found the bakeries in the Denver metro area that advertised on the LGBTQ sites. Now, they're just seeking business opportunities. It doesn't mean that they are homosexually run. They're just seeking business opportunities. But I went to every one of them, and I requested two cakes, both in the shape of an open Bible. And on one cake, on one side, I requested, God hates sin, Psalm 45:7, I think it is. And then on the facing page of that cake, I wanted homosexuality is a detestable sin, Leviticus 18:22. And then on the accompanying cake, I wanted, on one side, God loves sinners. And on the facing side of that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5:8. So what did I want on the cakes? I wanted the gospel. God hates sin. God loves sinners. And I wanted to find out if, first of all, these bakeries would deny my request, which they did. And then I filed a complaint with the Colorado Civil Rights Commission claiming discrimination based on my religion. You must understand, I believe those bakeries have every right to deny me service for whatever reason they choose. They can deny me service based on the color of my shirt. But if they're going to apply the law against Jack Phillips, they need to apply the law equitably.
Absolutely.
So I filed a complaint with the Colorado Civil Rights Commission claiming I had been discriminated against because of my religion. Do you think the Colorado Civil Rights Commission found that I had been discriminated against? Of course not.
Not at all.
Not at all. But what I found was that it was interesting that even Christians thought what I was doing was wrong. And I had to explain to them, because we've been so secularized in our thinking that we can't think biblically. For example, say I came into your lumberyard, Dr. Youngblood, and I asked for a pound of nails, and you said to me, get out of here. I'm not going to sell anybody who has a shirt like that a pound of nails. We would all recognize that is unjust discrimination.
That's right.
What if I came into your lumberyard, however, and I say, I would like for you to build me a torture chamber in my basement so I can torture puppies? You would, of course, say what? No. Now we have a disagreement. There is a difference between discrimination and a disagreement. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're seeing. Jack Phillips did not deny service to anyone. He refused to participate in an event that was a violation of his conscience. It was a contract. That's the problem here. A contract requires a willing participant and a willing purchaser and a willing provider. Now what the state is doing is saying, no, Dr. Youngblood, you will enter into the contract and you will build the torture chamber in Bill's basement so he can torture puppies. That's what they were doing to Jack Phillips. They were saying, you must enter into a contract. Now, the other side, Jesus said that the children of this world are very, very wise. And that's a funny passage, but he was correct because the other side's very clever. Why did they choose to go after bakers and photographers and florists? Because they were going after the institution of marriage. Wedding providers have to enter into contracts because I think it's up to 20 to 30% of weddings that are planned never take place. And so you only have a limited number of dates in the calendar for weddings, weekends, and usually especially during the month of June. If I am a photographer or a baker and the wedding falls through, I can't easily replace that date on the calendar because the timing is not right. So what I do as a baker, photographer, or florist, I have the participants sign a contract. That's why the other side went after wedding providers, because they were going after the contract. They were getting the state to force Jack Phillips into a contract. That's no longer a contract. That's called involuntary servitude when they're forced to do this.
Absolutely. One of the things that we find, and I know that's what you have touched on, so many Christians do not understand that concept, and somehow, some way, they look at it on the basis, well, as the book of Daniel, where he was required to pray 30 days only to the king and not to God. Many Christians say, well, it's just 30 days, it doesn't make any difference, or it's just this one wedding, it doesn't make any difference. But it makes a vast amount of difference if you are sticking to a biblical worldview, a central biblicist worldview, as I like to call it. Jack, we've got just a few minutes left on the broadcast time today. Tell us some of the resources that you provide to help families train their students.
Right. Yeah, you know, I'd just like to make one more point about that. You're correct. I actually had friends of mine saying, well, wouldn't Jesus bake the cake for that homosexual couple who came into Jack Phillips just to show that he loved them? And my response was, well, Jesus wasn't a baker.
That's right.
But he was a carpenter. Would Jesus build the wedding bed for the same-sex couple just to show that he loved them. Jesus wasn't a baker, but he was a rabbi. Would Jesus perform the ceremony for the same-sex couple just to show that he loved them? You see, we have to drive people to the logical conclusions of their arguments and let the weight of reality crush false worldviews.
Wonderful.
That's one of the things I teach at Worldview Academy. There are still people in our culture that we can lead to the Lord, but I'm convinced that the further away we drift from a biblical worldview, that we have to push people to be consistent with what they say they believe and let reality crush false worldviews. And so we provide resources for families and for churches. Among those are a series of nine-week study guides, nine-week devotionals that can be used either individually or with a small group. And they have questions, study questions, discussion questions, and students can dig deeply into God's Word. For example, we have one on worldviews, teaching students basic worldview thinking. We have one on origins. Now, it doesn't deal with the science. It deals with what Scripture says about origins. Is there any wiggle room on this idea of a six-day creation? And, of course, you know I'm going to say there isn't any wiggle room. But right. It deals with the Scripture only. We have one on faith and duty. What happens when a Christian is told by someone in authority, you cannot speak here, you cannot meet here, you cannot pass out your literature here? How is a Christian to respond biblically? So we have that one. We have one. We have several different worldview nine-week study guides. I have produced over the years several DVDs dealing with these issues out in the culture. All of my DVDs have interviews on them. Man-on-the-street interviews with students on college campuses. One of the ones that's the oldest one and still the most popular is Simple Tools for Brain Surgery, in which I teach four questions that will stand you in good stead no matter what the topic. And if you learn to ask these questions wisely, you will appear to be more intelligent than 95% of the people around you. Not that you will be, it's just you'll look intelligent because you're asking intelligent questions.
Tell our listeners how they can find that on the website, Bill.
They can go to worldview.org, and they can find out information about our leadership camps. They can find information about Worldview at the Abbey if they have a student who they want to get grounded in their faith in a two-semester program. They can also find information about our resources. There's a tab for that. And they can also investigate what our core values are at Worldview Academy, because you don't want to entrust your student to just anybody. You wouldn't give me the keys to your car without checking my driving record. And so,
well, I have reviewed your mission statement and your statement of faith. I've read it over thoroughly a couple of times, and I don't know of any area that you could have improved on that for any more definitive statement of faith and rooted and founded each step of it in Scripture. Bill, while we've still got time, I'm intrigued by a handout piece that you had given my son that he was so challenged with, and he said, "Dad, you need to see this." That's what connected us to have this interview today. It's called The Debit, the Master's Card.
Oh, yes.
Tell us about that.
Well, we have three teams during the summer, and so we're rotating our faculty so that returning students to the same location don't hear the same faculty. So a student can go through Worldview Academy 3 years and not hear the same lecture. They're going to hear the same emphasis, but from a different perspective. But one of the things that we try to provide each year that's different for our students is a different evangelism tool. And so the most recent one that we've developed, each team has its own tool, but the most recent one is called a debit card. And it is just a tool for people to use in starting the conversation and leading people to Christ. We encourage people to make it a conversation, not a confrontation. And so when people start out sharing their faith, everybody usually needs something in hand and something to remind them of what to say next until they get very comfortable doing this on their own. You know, everybody has their favorite tool for sharing their faith. It may be the Romans Road, you know, whatever it is. But this is just a tool. It's called the debit card. And the question that you start with is, what's the biggest debt you owe? And usually, if you're on a college campus, it's student loans. And then we show them that that each of us has a debt that we can't pay, that we've offended the creator of the universe. And it talks about Romans 6:23. But then there is a card on this handout, a plastic card that looks like a debit card. And we show them how they can have their debt paid in full by the creator of the universe. But Jesus paid that debt, John 3:16. And we give them that, and we urge them to keep it in their wallet. And we ask them, would you trust Christ? Now, notice the language I use. A friend of mine, great, great evangelist who trains students all over the country, Greg Steer from Dare to Share, reminded me one time. He said, you know, we use a lot of Christianese when we talk to people out on the street. And in the church, we understand it. It's like, for example, we say, would you like to ask Jesus in your heart? We understand what that means, but that's not really biblical. The Bible says put your faith, put your trust in Christ. And so I train students to use language that is clear and biblical. And we always ask people, would you trust Christ?
Yes, and that's the key statement. Bill, we've got about 1 minute left on the broadcast. Again, if you would be kind enough to give our listeners the contact information for you and for the Worldview Academy and how they can engage your organization to come in and lock arms with them in the church and be a blessing and a benefit of training the young people to be able to defend the faith.
Dr. Youngblood, thank you for having me today. They can contact us at worldview.org, or they can contact me personally at billjack4987@gmail. That's billjack4987@gmail. But thank you again for having me, and I hope that it was worthwhile, and I encourage
Oh, it's been a blessing to me personally, and I'm sure it has been to our audience. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today on Let's Face the Issue. Looking forward to meeting you next time as, once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.